Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. This conclusion of the devotional of the revealed scriptures is also the realization of experienced devotees. Fools and rascals, however, cannot understand the opulences of divine emotions. Purport. When a person is liberated in the sarupya form of liberation, having a spiritual form exactly like Vishnu, it is not possible for him to relish the relationship of Krishna's personal associates in their exchanges of mellows. The devotees of Krishna, however, in their loving relationships with Krishna, sometimes forget their own identities. Sometimes they think themselves one with Krishna and yet relish still greater transcendental mellow in that way. People in general, because of their foolishness only, try to become masters of everything, forgetting the transcendental mellows of servitorship to Krishna. Or servitorship to the Lord. When a person is actually advanced in spiritual understanding, however, he can accept the transcendental servitorship of the Lord without hesitation. Please repeat the translation. This conclusion of the revealed scriptures is also the realization of experienced devotees. Fools and rascals, however, cannot understand the opulences of devotional emotions. Om Jnana Timirandasi Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagandha Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanephyo Vaishnavephyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami is continuing with his descriptions of the glories of the spirit of servitude to Krishna. In this series of verses, he begins by explaining how Krishna considers his devotees to be greater than himself, and that there is a lot of evidence in this regard in the scriptures. Yesterday we were considering a few points in this regard. The qualities that the devotees have are so attractive to Krishna that Krishna becomes actually controlled by those devotional qualities, and he actually becomes a puppet in their hands. This is the glory of devotional service. As we mentioned yesterday, God is great, but devotional service is greater than God. Of all the qualities that the devotees have, the most important quality is the quality of surrender. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has mentioned 26 primary qualities of a devotee. Like he's merciful and kind, he's compassionate, he's a poet, so many nice qualities. But the most important one among them is Krishnaika Sharana, that taking exclusive shelter of Lord Krishna, being surrendered unto him. And Mahaprabhu goes on to explain that there are two kinds of devotees. One are those who are akinchana, those who are without material desires. And the second are those who are completely surrendered to the Lord. And the kind who are completely surrendered to the Lord are considered by Mahaprabhu to be superior. So as practicing devotees, we may not be completely free of material desires, and surely we should hope and pray and strive towards that stage of purity. Nevertheless, what pleases Krishna really is our spirit of surrender to him. If that is our spirit, Sharanagata, then Krishna becomes very, very obliged. Oh, this devotee has such a surrendered attitude. By this surrender, this devotee has conquered my heart. So Krishna becomes very obliged. And the freedom from material desires then automatically comes at the proper time according to Krishna's own wish. And even then, if the devotee does have some fault, Krishna is so controlled by the devotee's love, or so obliged to the devotee for his or her devotional service, that he overlooks whatever faults there may be. That doesn't mean, of course, that we can be complacent and say, well, I'm a devotee and I have so many faults, so Krishna will overlook them. We should feel bad about the faults. But Krishna, being very kind, accepts us, accepts our service as something very big. Ishvara Svabhava Bhaktir Naloy Aparad. He said, Krishna, Mahaprabhu says that Krishna's nature, Ishvara Svabhava, is that he doesn't accept the offenses of his devotees. Alpa Seva Bahumani Atma Paryanta Prasad. Not only does he not accept the offense of his devotees, he accepts alpa seva, that means some very small seva, some insignificant seva. He considers that to be bahu, very great. Bahu mane, he accepts that as something very great. So much so, atma paryanta prasad. He is willing to even give himself up to his devotee. He doesn't seriously consider the faults of his devotee. And elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada, this connection, I remember, gives an analogy of a mother looking after her baby. The baby generally spoils everything. Spoils the clothes, spoils the bed, soils everything because of urine and so many things. But the mother doesn't consider that. She overlooks all that, and still the love for the child actually increases more and more day by day. So the same way, the faults of the devotees are very easily rectified by the Lord's mercy. But the spirit of surrender of the devotee, that the devotee is serving the Lord, is actually very pleasing to Krishna. So Sharanagati, the Sharanagata Bhakta, the surrendered devotee, captures Lord Krishna's heart to the extent that he becomes actually controlled by the devotee. This is the glory of devotional service. The heart of devotional service is surrender. When somebody surrenders, then Krishna cannot refuse that person. It is just not his nature. We've heard this example many times about how Lord Ram also forgave, not forgave, but he accepted Vibhishana when he came, along with his associates, to surrender to Ram, having been thrown out by Ravana. And there was a discussion amongst the soldiers, like Hanuman and the others, and there were various opinions being preferred. And some felt that Vibhishana was probably a spy. You know, he was, after all, the blood, the brother of Ravana. But Lord Ram conclusively settled this whole issue definitively by giving his opinion. Sakradeva prapannoyah tavasmiti chayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadam yetat vratam mama. Even if once somebody comes to me and in a spirit of surrender says, "My dear Lord, I am yours," then I accept him and I bestow him with fearlessness. So this is the Lord's nature. He cannot refuse anyone who comes to him in a spirit of surrender. So we see this spirit of surrender in all the pure devotees of the Lord. And that's why Krishna says in the 11th canto in the Uddhava Gita, that's the verse that is next quoted here by Kaviraj Goswami. Krishna is speaking to Uddhava and he says that, "O Uddhava, neither Brahma nor Lord Shiva nor even Sankarshan or Lakshmi Devi or even my own self is as dear to me as you are." Of course, Lakshmi, Brahma, Shiva, Sankarshan are all devotees of the Lord. But Krishna is considering Uddhava to be superior to them. So dear is the devotee to Krishna, the pure devotee to Krishna, that even such exalted souls are considered by Krishna to be in a different category. And then Kaviraj Goswami goes on to say that it is only those who have surrendered to Krishna in a spirit of servitude that one can taste the sweetness of Krishna. It is not to be tasted by those who consider themselves equal to Krishna. So this is the benefit of servitude. Tasting the sweetness of Krishna means experiencing unimaginable bliss. In this time, because we are more accustomed to experiencing the perverted so-called happiness of this world, we cannot even imagine or conceive of the kind of bliss that the pure devotees of the Lord experience in serving Krishna. So much so that even Krishna cannot understand it. And therefore Krishna comes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to taste the spirit of service and love of Srimati Radharani. Because Radharani, as we discussed yesterday, is the topmost symbol of devotional service to Krishna. And in the verse that we are reading today, Kaviraj Goswami says that these conclusions are borne out by two sources. Shastra Siddhanta, that's the version of the revealed scriptures, number one, and number two, Vijnana Anubhava, the experience of realized devotees. So very, very important, these two factors. These are our sources of knowledge, of guidance. The scripture and the realization of experienced devotees. So the realization of experienced devotees also becomes as good as scripture. For example, Brahma Samhita is considered scripture. What is Brahma Samhita? It is nothing but the realization of a great devotee, Brahma. And we use that to basically explain or understand who Krishna is and what Krishna's form is. Srila Prabhupada one time said that even though the prayers of Narottam Das Thakur are in ordinary vernacular Bengali language, not in polished Sanskrit language. Still, the poems of Narottam Das Thakur are considered as good as the Vedas. Elsewhere it is also said that the ceaseless chattering of the gopis of Vrindavan, you know, when devotees get together, they chatter a lot, no? So especially in India, people are very noisy, very chattersome. They, you go to a village, you're always chattering away. But the chattering in Vrindavan and Krishna's time is so nice. They all, as they, you know, churning the butter and they are doing, they are going about, you know, cleaning the goshala and doing the various services, the domestic duties, looking after their children and all that. They're chattering away about, you know, about this, about that. You know, little things, maybe. Mostly they chant about Krishna. But sometimes they would talk about, you know, what happened in this house, you know what happened there. So this chattering of the gopis of Vrindavan is more pleasing to Krishna than the Purusha Sukta prayers offered by the demigods. When the demigods are in trouble, they come to the shore of the milk ocean. And then they recite all these prayers glorifying Krishna. And Brahma reads the prayers. And the Lord doesn't appear before them actually. Even he doesn't appear before Brahma. Brahma has to go deep into meditation. And then the Lord appears in his heart in his meditation and responds to the prayer and assures Brahma, I will come. I will soon descend in this world. Don't worry. Please convey this to the demigods. Then Brahma has to convey that to the demigods. So the demigods are all exalted souls. And just see, they're not even able to see the Lord. Even though they chant so many prayers glorifying him. So Krishna is pleased. All right, he accepts the prayer. He agrees to the request and descends into this world. But the chattering of the gopis of Vrindavan is more dear to his ears, to his heart, than these exalted, wonderfully composed, metrically perfect prayers in the Vedas and chanted by the demigods and so on. So it goes to show that the realizations of great devotees or the statements of great devotees actually are the heart of Krishna consciousness. Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gatah sapantha. The truths, the deepest truths of spiritual life are to be found in the hearts of the devotees. Therefore one must follow in the footsteps of the great Mahajans. Otherwise it is impossible to understand Shastra or scripture. It is only the great devotees of the Lord who are walking, talking scriptures that we can understand. Generally we talk scripture, but we have to walk our talk, isn't it? So we have to experience that. Therefore, I like to go on the Bhagavad Gita walk around here, because then at least you can walk your talk, you know. We're talking Bhagavad Gita, but now we get a chance to walk the talk. So this is the benefit of having experienced devotees. Without experienced devotees, how could we possibly understand Krishna, even if scripture was there? It is not possible, because scriptures are revealed through the realizations of great devotees. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very interesting point here in the purport. When we talk of being equal to Krishna, one way of looking at it is for the impersonalists who consider themselves equal to Krishna. But here, Srila Prabhupada in the purport is talking about the sarupya form of liberation. As we all know, there are five different types of liberation that enable one to go to the Vaikuntha world. One is called sarshti, where one gets equal opulences as Krishna. The second is samipya, where one gets to be a personal associate of Krishna. The third is called salokya, where one lives on the same planet as Krishna. The fourth is sarupya, where one gets the same form as Krishna and looks exactly like Vishnu in the Vaikuntha planets. And the last is Sayujya, when one merges into the impersonal effulgence of Krishna. Of course, the last one is something that the devotees never want. It's worse than hell. But the other four, sometimes the devotees may accept. And Srila Prabhupada is saying here that when a person is liberated in the Sarupya form of liberation, having a spiritual form exactly like Vishnu, it is not possible for him to relish the relationship of Krishna's personal associates in their exchanges of mellows. So in other words, he is saying that even if you get a form like Lord Narayan or Lord Vishnu in the Vaikuntha planets, still you cannot experience the sweetness that is found in Goloka Vrindavan with Krishna. So he clarifies that to say the devotees of Krishna, however, in their loving relationships with Krishna, sometimes forget their own identities. Sometimes they think themselves one with Krishna and yet relish greater transcendental mellow in that way. In other words, Prabhupada in this purport is distinguishing between the love found in Vaikuntha and the love found in Vrindavan. In both places there is pure devotion. In both places there is pure spirit of service and surrender. Unless one is a pure devotee, one cannot exist on the Vaikuntha planets. But the spirit of surrender, the spirit of servitude is so deep, so intense in Vrindavan that it goes beyond, far beyond that which is found in Vaikuntha. In fact, so much so that the devotee actually considers himself more than Krishna in the sense of being protective about Krishna. Or one feels oneself in a position to chastise Krishna, which is unthinkable in the Vaikuntha world. You wouldn't think of doing that to Lord Narsingadev, for example, of chastising Lord Narsingadev. Yes? But in Vrindavan, it's commonplace. They will do it. That is the nature of their servitude. So the servitude has reached such a point. From Dasya, it goes on to the higher rasas, ultimately culminating in Madhurya. Whereas in Vaikuntha, these higher rasas are not found. So the higher rasas also have servitude. Servitude is a foundation of all the mellows of devotional service with Krishna. And this spirit of service is found in its most intense form in Goloka Vrindavan. That is why Goloka Vrindavan is special. It is explained that there are different kinds of knowledge. The first kind of knowledge is the most basic with which we are familiar here in this material world. That's called Jada Jnana. Jada means that which is not conscious. So the ordinary mundane knowledge, how to operate your iPad, iPod, or to know about chemistry or physics or mathematics, is Jada Jnana, ordinary knowledge of this world. Higher than that is Atma Jnana, to know that I am the spirit soul, I am not the body. That's certainly the beginning of real knowledge. There's yet another level, which is called Nirbhed Brahma Jnana, which means to know, this is the Jnana actually that is followed by the impersonalist, so we don't really so much do that. That's called identifying oneself with the impersonal Brahman, Aham Brahmasmi. Just knowing oneself to be the Atma is not sufficient. One has to know that the absolute truth is also spiritual. And I am one in quality with that absolute spiritual truth. So Nirbheda Brahma Jnana, Aham Brahmasmi. Then the next category, which is of course higher, is Krishna Aishwarya Jnana, to know the divine transcendental opulences of Krishna. How great is Krishna? How wonderful, how powerful he is. How he creates so many universes and so on and so forth. This Aishwarya Jnana is found in, of course, the Vaikuntha mood. where one sees the Lord as being all-powerful and so on. And then there is the highest state of knowledge where one forgets all the other knowledge, where one can relish only one thing, and that is the sweetness of Krishna. And that is what is being explained here. So much is the sweetness that surcharges the very consciousness of the devotee that the devotee is not conscious of anything else, even his or her own existence. And in that spirit of deep experience of the sweetness of Krishna, one may sometimes consider oneself one with Krishna. But this oneness, one must point out, is not the same as the oneness that is claimed by the Mayavadis, the impersonalists. This is a oneness of love. The gopis, in their separation from Krishna in Vrindavan, would sometimes imitate the pastimes of Krishna in their transcendental madness. They would act as Krishna, they would play roles. Someone would play Putana's role, and someone would play Krishna's role. They would enact these pastimes. And then the devotee who was enacting Krishna's role would become so absorbed in that role that the devotee gopi would think, I am Krishna. So this sense of oneness, or the sense of oneness in love, is very, very intense, and that is what Srila Prabhupada is talking about here. And that is possible because the spirit of servitude that the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan have is so deep that there is no conception of desiring one's own pleasure or happiness. We all know the story of Krishna having a headache, right? And Narad Muni approaching him, and Krishna telling him that the only cure for my headache is the dust from the feet of my devotees. And Narad Muni is, of course, flabbergasted. How can I give the dust from my feet to Krishna to put on his head? That's unthinkable. And then Krishna sends him to the gopis, and the gopis have said, take buckets and buckets, as many as you want, as much as you want. And Narad Muni tells them, don't you know that you will go to hell? Imagine giving the dust of your feet to put on Krishna's head. Who can ever think of such a thing? And the gopis say, well, we don't mind if we have to go to hell for eternity, if it can relieve Krishna's headache for even one moment. So this is the happiness that the gopis experience in sacrificing their everything for Krishna's even momentary pleasure. So therefore it is explained that there are different kinds of happiness. One kind of happiness is called Jadananda, the happiness of sense gratification, which, as we know, is not really sense gratification, not really happiness at all. It's just another form of distress. Then there is the Brahmananda. The Brahmananda is when the soul is merged in Krishna, in the impersonal effulgence, and experiences a certain kind of happiness. It's majorly a relief from material distress. And one experiences one's own spiritual position as spirit soul, as spiritual Aham Brahmasmi. And beyond that is Premananda, where one experiences the bliss of loving Krishna purely. Now, is there anything higher than that? What do you think? How many think there's something higher than this Premananda? Please raise your hand. You do? What is that? Oh, wonderful. Yes, you are right. It is Sevananda. The bliss of Seva. That is more. Because in Sevananda, the spirit of sacrifice is deeper. The spirit of servitude is deeper. In Premananda, you're just relishing the Prema. Yeah, nice, so nice. I'm experiencing great happiness, ecstatic symptoms, and hair standing on end, and just bliss, bliss, and bliss. You're blissed out. But in Sevananda, you don't even care about your own bliss. That is Vrindavan. And that is the pure devotees of Krishna. So this is the perfection. The pure devotee of the Lord doesn't even accept the happiness of prema, the premananda, if it interferes with service to Krishna. And we see this in the case of Rukmini Devi. When she was fanning Krishna, and this is Dwarka, so you can imagine what is Vrindavan. She was fanning Krishna, and as she was fanning, she started experiencing the symptoms of ecstasy, devotional ecstasy. And she began to lose control of herself because she was in ecstatic trance. And then she controlled herself thinking that, how selfish I am. I'm just so busy experiencing the happiness of serving bliss. But what about my service to Krishna? If I just let myself go in this experience of bliss, then I'll stop my service. I won't be able to fan Krishna. So then she controlled herself and restrained herself from that happiness and continued to serve Krishna. Similarly, there's another point. Do you know why the name Radharani or Radha doesn't appear directly in the Srimad Bhagavatam? Because Shukadev Goswami is a very special devotee of Srimati Radharani. He is considered to be like her pet parrot. So, Shukadev Goswami knew that if he chanted the name Radha, he would probably go into an ecstatic trance for a week. Now, if he was in ecstatic trance for a week, what would happen to Parikshit Maharaj? Parikshit Maharaj had only 1 week. And he had service to do, Shukadev Goswami. He had to give the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. And through Parikshit Maharaj to the whole world. And if he fell into the Premananda, the ecstatic trance of love for Krishna, then what would happen? We would not have had Srimad Bhagavatam here today. So Shukadev Goswami had service to do. He had to speak Krishna Katha. And in speaking Krishna Katha, therefore, he had to restrain his Premananda because now there was Sevananda. He had to relish the service to Krishna and to Krishna's devotees. It is because of Shukadev Goswami that the whole Srimad Bhagavatam is now made available to the world. Imagine what the world would be without the Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, the spirit of devotion is actually the spirit of service, of complete surrender. So the devotee of the Lord is not sometimes conscious about the happiness that he or she may receive. We see many times, we have so many festivals like a Rath Yatra or a Janmashtami or so many other festivals. And there are many devotees who are doing services which are far removed from the main scene of action, so to speak. Let's say there's a festival going on inside the temple hall and devotees are chanting, dancing, ecstatically experiencing the happiness of Sankirtan. And there's some devotee who's in some corner of the temple somewhere, all alone, maybe cutting some vegetable or doing something. And sometimes you may feel that, well, I'm missing out on all the fun. But no, this happiness is actually higher. Now that doesn't mean that everybody should go away and no one's left in the kirtan, because that's also seva. You know, in another place where I come from, we have a big Rath Yatra also. And it's been going on for the last 14 years. And there are many, many devotees who have never been to the Rath Yatra procession. And there are many who have never been to the Pandal programs in these 14 years, because they're so busy doing service that is way out somewhere, like the vehicle parking or various things. For 14 years, they've never seen what the Pandal looks like, what the crowds are, what programs are going on. They've never even been on the procession. So they're happy with it, but it's only when sometimes devotees start saying, you know, it was so nice, oh really, I'm missing it. But then they realize, no, it's the service. We get the chance to do service. But now we made a rule that, okay, you know, sometimes release them. You have a rotation system and somebody comes and experiences that happiness also. And then come back and do your seva. So really, Krishna consciousness is all about service. Everything is service. Sadhana is also service. Our chanting of japa, our hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam class, our taking darshan of the deities, that's also service. Very important service. Plus the other practical services, cutting the vegetables or whatever it is we're doing. All these are different forms of service. So when our devotion is in this mood, then Krishna is very pleased. And we will make rapid advancement. Thank you very much.